This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The bridge guy, that's been a big piece of the Delphi murder case against Richard Allen from the beginning, despite it doesn't really look like Richard Allen at all, but it's been presented in a very ominous way all of this time, in a way where we hear and see on the screen this bridge guy ominously saying, "down the hill," while he is behind the girls on the bridge. The reality is, that never happened. He didn't say that ominously behind the girls as he was walking along the bridge. No, he actually said it in passing as the girls had already talked about wanting to go down the hill. This is a crazy, crazy video. Now we've seen it in its entirety. I know you saw it in court, Bob. They played the whole thing, correct, in court?
They did.
Okay, so that at least was there. But leading up to this, all we saw was this six-second edited version that was played over and over and over, and they said, this is, the bridge guy's the killer. I got questions about how we even came to that conclusion, too. Before we dive into it, let's play the bridge guy video in its entirety, and then we will discuss. We're going to put it down over here to a full screen, and let's watch it. Here we go, and listen. So there's the girl on the bridge. There's bridge guy way back.
See, this is the path that we go down. There's no path going there, so we have to go down here.
Let me break that down a little bit in case it was hard to hear. There's no path going there, so we have to go down here. The first person to say they want to go down the hill is the girls. It is not Bridge Guy. Bridge Guy is not like pressuring them to go down the hill. He's not even not like chasing them or stalking them. He looks like he's just a guy off walking on a day when there's probably a lot of people out there walking because it was a warm late winter day. And then you hear him pass them and he does a friendly, "hey," and they're looking down the hill and he goes, "yeah, down the hill," which I think I would do too. If you're walking on out in the woods and there's two girls looking confused as to where the path goes and they're pointing and looking around and you know where the trail is, yeah, down the hill, there it is. And you keep going your merry way. But somehow that, which we've now finally been allowed to see by the powers that be of Delphi, the magical Oz, it's not at all what was presented to us for the last however many years. Bob, what's your reaction to this video now that you've got a chance to see it outside of court and had a chance to like review it more in depth?
Yeah, I was paying attention to you right there, but I sent you a version I think has better sound.
Okay.
That maybe you want to plug in where we watch that. It's got significantly better sound. I had some people up the sound.
Okay.
And send it to me. Yeah, you know, when I sat in court, and from what I understand, this is the original. And remember that there exist three versions of this video.
Okay.
Four, if you're counting what they put out to the public, the 3-second clip of just Bridge Guy that was all grainy where you can't make out anybody's face. But this apparently was taken directly from the extraction of Libby's phone. Mm-hmm. So what we also saw was what they called a enhanced version of it. And then finally they showed us what they called a stabilized version. Now, when I first saw this, when it was released this week, I could not remember. I'm like, is this, I was hitting everybody up that was in court with me during that trial. I'm like, is this the original? Because when I watched the original in court, and I have all kinds of people saying, Bob said he couldn't see the bridge guy. And when you're looking It's something that you've been waiting to see for 7 years in a court from 50 feet away on a 55 inch screen. And you're trying to soak in everything. Like when you look at the beginning of that video, where now when you can watch it over and over, you can see that he's behind her, but she's kind of shielding his body initially until there's like Libby pulls back a little bit. And then you can see how far he is behind her. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't see the dude initially. So then I'm kind of like, oh, you're trying to take it all in and you're like, wow. You know, and then when I finally do see him, I thought he looked to be 10 yards back, maybe 30 feet behind her. And, you know, when I saw that now in full display, I still think he's probably about 10 yards behind her.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you're trying to figure out the concept of this picture that was floating around out on social media, is another snap picture, the one with Abby alone out on the bridge. Okay. Walking towards, if you're facing Abby towards the right side of the tracks, kind of looking down, which you'd have to be to cross those railroad ties, and you don't see anybody behind her.
No.
The whole way. Do you know what picture I'm talking about?
I think so. I think I know.
Yeah. What you're like about. Just if you Google it right now, you could find it while I'm talking and mm-hmm. you can throw it up. It's like Abby on Monadnock Bridge alone. So at trial, we learned that they could not find that particular picture anywhere in the Snapchat cache of Libby's phone. They couldn't find it anywhere on the extraction that was somehow found on the internet. But we don't know who posted that picture. So when you look at that picture in conjunction with where it appears that she's standing in that picture and how much of the north end is behind her, and you can kind of figure that she's closer to where Libby is than she is to the beginning of the north side of the trestle. So she's not too far from where Libby starts taking the video.
Yeah.
And then you have to try to figure out, well, where the hell does this guy come? This is not the type of bridge that you can run across.
No.
It's a railroad, an old defunct railroad trestle. So it's literally railroad tracks where you have between a 14 and 16 inch gap between railroad ties. Okay, so like you have to veer it, and on top of that, half of these ties are completely deteriorating. Some of them are missing completely. So this is a very treacherous, terrifying walk across this bridge. No one is jogging across it. No one. So it then leads you to the place, well, where is this guy? You know, yeah. It appears there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, there's no bridge guy on that shot. So right. Yeah, like where does, well, the only other thought I would have on this is number one, it didn't appear on her phone. So that's weird in itself. So did somebody else take this? Is that the question?
Yes.
Basically. Okay. So if somebody else took it, yeah. I mean, who would that be? How would that be?
It could have been somebody that had access to her Snap account. How do they get the picture is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying, it's not in her Snap cache. I'm talking about the extraction of her phone.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that I have, and I'm going to, like, I'm actually, Stacey Aldridge is going to be on our show next Thursday. Mm-hmm. And she was the defense expert, the phone forensic expert on the case. And she's going to talk about everything that she testified to. So I'm going to ask her if that means, does what is in her Snapchat cache, is that the type of thing that you can extract with the use of Cellebrite? Or mm-hmm. because the whole point of Snap is that the pictures disappear.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you're sending disappears unless you have it in the setting that it doesn't. And it also gives people the opportunity when you put it out there that they can grab a, you know, a screen grab of it and they can save it down to their photos.
Yeah.
So, but my question is if this was taken with Libby's snap, would Cellebrite be able to extract it even if it had disappeared through the Snapchat application? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Timestamp would be important on this too, like an authentic timestamp from the original.
Any kind of metadata, 100%.
Yeah, because this it could be easily explained that they were playing on the bridge for a while. Bridge guy just hasn't gotten there yet. And they were hanging out there for a little while. And then eventually that other guy is coming this way and they decide to start moving forward because they see somebody coming, you know, that's going to eventually pass them on the bridge. I don't think I'd really want to be next to anybody on that bridge that's going to pass me. So you're going to kind of keep moving.
So in here, if you're looking at, if you're looking behind Abby and you look to the right side of the rail, you can see one of the two platforms.
Yeah.
Okay. Go back there. See that thing that's here, sticking out? Yep. Right where your little cursor is. Yep. That is one of the platforms. There's two of them. And if you go, if you look way beyond that to the left, you'll see the other one. Blow it up again.
It's about as big as I can blow it up right there. Let me
pull it so down. You see it. It's almost, you can see that thing sticking out that looks similar to the piece of wood that's sticking out right there.
Yep.
Exactly. Right. You see what I'm talking about? No, you had it. Move the hand up again. Like up
in this area.
Like, yeah. It's on the left side there.
Yeah. Exactly. It's right there. Yeah.
So that is the first platform. So if you're able to look and you can Google an aerial view of the Monon High Bridge, there are those two platforms and they are at the opposite end of where she is at. You can see how far behind that is of her. So she is not hanging around just playing on that bridge. Mm-hmm. Libby obviously had a lot less fear in terms of crossing that bridge because she beat like when you're hearing about people talking about crossing that bridge, it's like people are like, yeah, but I got down on my hands and knees and crawled across it because it's that scary.
Yeah.
You're like 67 feet above a creek.
Yeah.
When you're over the creek and not over the creek, you're 67 feet above like ground
on rotting wood.
On rotting wood. So it's a terrifying experience. So like Abby is not sitting chilling, hanging out, like posing for pictures there. She's trying to get across. Mm-hmm. My point is the only thing that makes sense to me is that the killer came past them from the south side of the bridge and then turned around when he got past both girls. Mm-hmm. That he pretended like he was walking by. And then at some point hung a Yui and started following them.
Yeah.
And because it doesn't make any sense other way to like it just doesn't add up. And if that's the case, I mean, to me, that's pretty exculpatory as to Richard Allen.
Yeah.
Because he was not coming from that side of the bridge. Mm-hmm. Like that side of the bridge, you know, where you'd park to get there is a long distance away from where Allen said he parked and from where the police are saying that he parked, which was the old CPS parking lot.
Yeah.
So like this is at the opposite end of that. Okay. So it doesn't really work for me in terms of it being Allen if they're going to stick with, well, this is where he parked. And, you know, that's where he was waiting. And then he's following him down the bridge. Because where is he in the other picture? That other picture tells the tale. Because what I'm saying is that the amount of time that it would have taken Abby to get to where we see her jog past Libby. Because at that point, she's clearly over where there's peril.
Yeah.
Like, because this track runs, it continues to run just normal tracks once you finish crossing the trestle itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then as soon as she got like right to the end of it, like anybody, when you're doing something like pretty scary and you kind of get to the very end of it, you kind of like rush your way through it and get the safety, right? I mean, that's a normal thing to do, which is exactly what she did.
Yep.
And, you know, so we know that she's pretty close to that end and there's just not enough time for that guy to make up all that space, all that distance in the time that it would have taken her from where the picture that you just showed to where she gets to safety to where Libby's filming. So, I mean, for me, it just raises a ton of questions. Obviously, everybody on there, you know, that's watching this thing is trying to figure out exactly what's said. You know, you've got that confirmation bias thing where people have said, oh, that's a gun. But then, you know, like I'm hearing people, I asked like Grok, I'm like, Grok, pretend like you're a court reporter and you're watching this video and can you give me a transcript of what's being said? And Grok's like, I cannot do that. I don't know. I am just a robot. I can read with the transcript. You know, and it's like, so, you know, there's going to be people that are going to be trying to break down exactly what is said, you know, because you hear a gun being racked?
No.
See if you can put up, like, get the video I sent?
I got yours. Let's take a look at it.
Throw it up there. Let's see. I think the sound's significantly better.
Here we go.
See, this is the path. Yeah, the other path. There's no path going there, so we have to go down here. See, this is the...
Guys?
Bye.
Down here.
The other path. There's no path going there, so we have to go down here.
Guys.
Bye.
So that video, it looks like it repeats, right? It's not just
right. That, like, I think my buddy made it like repeat two times. So it's a 43-second video total.
Yeah.
And like I don't hear a gun rack at all.
No.
But in that particular video, I've got another one that I'm going to send you to, that you can check out when we're done. All but, right. In that one, you can hear the rocks crunching.
Yeah.
Under her feet a lot more. And, you know, there's this point in time where he asks a question, or she talks about the path two times. Okay. And the first time she's like, I forget what she says. Here, go back on it. And it's before the second to play it in regular speed.
Let me play the one I have, the original, at regular speed. It is right. Let's take a look.
See, this is the path that we are on.
See, I'm not hearing the I'm not hearing the rocks crunching on yours either.
I am.
Oh, you are?
And that's it. It's just, there's a rock crunching, but they're trying to debate how to get down the thing, down the hill. And then he goes, hey guys, down the hill. Almost like, are you trying to figure out how to get down the hill? I mean, again, I don't get anything out of that where it's like he's trying to pressure them to go down the hill. It just seems like somebody passing by and like, oh yeah, down the hill, you know, yeah, you know, path is over there, you know, whatever. It doesn't seem incriminating to me.
And that's the thing where I'm talking about, like in that one portion where she starts talking about the path first, that's where Tony Liggett at trial testified that he claims that he hears, that be a gun.
It's not, that's not in there. I know. I listen. Oh, there's nothing in there that says that.
Right. And what I've heard is when she'll say something about the path and there's a pause. And then the question is that Abby who says something or is that Libby finishing what she's saying?
Yeah.
And then she talks about the path again. So
I don't know. I watch this and I see nothing. I don't even know why there's this everybody's stuck on this being the murderer. Like, I don't know. Like, it's the only piece that they have from the last moments that the girls were alive, but it doesn't mean that the guy in that video is the killer. I that seems like a very far reach that was made very early on that was simply just accepted and nobody really questioned it a whole lot. And I get kind of why the way it was presented to the public as this guy is telling them to go down the hill. He's not. They're talking about how to get down the hill before the guy even gets close enough for them to hear him. They're the ones that want to go down the hill.
So you're saying guys, it's just like,
hey guys,
because they say hi.
Yeah. It seems like just a pleasant, you're just passing somebody on the woods and you see two girls that look kind of confused and they're trying to figure out where to get to their trail, which appears to be exactly what's happening. And if you know the trails and you walk around there and they're, you know, hey guys, they're like looking down there. Yeah. Down the hill.
I mean, it certainly doesn't sound nefarious.
No, it doesn't.
People are like, oh, they sound terrified. I'm like, I'm not
they
hearing
don't.
That.
They sound like, hey, oh, the path isn't over here. That I would not, if I knew nothing about this case and somebody showed me that video, I'd be like, and? What am I watching here? Two girls hiking and a guy? I mean, creepy looking bridge. But
and that's what I'm seeing. Like when it gets out there that law enforcement is saying that they hear her saying, Deppy a gun, like that begins to be the thing that you think you hear.
And I,
it's like, you
and
know
that's
what
the
it's
brain
like?
Works.
It's like that. Right. Exactly. It's like that Yanny Laurel thing.
Yeah.
Remember that thing like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Like Allison hears Yanny and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't hear anything even remotely close. It's clearly Laurel.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like, I don't know, man.
It's how our
now
brains
that
work.
It's out.
Yeah.
Now that it's out, there's going to be people that know a hell of a lot more about, you know, audio files are going to be working to clean that up as much as humanly possible, doing the work that should have been done on this audio by law enforcement over the past 7 years.
I'm going to play with it too. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but we're going to put it into audition and really try and massage this thing down. I just don't see where this, other than let's tell the public this, they edited the damn video. They moved the audio to a different place of where it is. And in the original, in the 6 second clip, to put down the hill at a very ominous place in the video where it just isn't. That to me is like, why are you doing that? If you're going to release just the little clip of the guy, then just release a little clip of the guy. If you want the part where you hear him saying something, then release the whole damn thing. But then you'd also have to contextually take out the two girls not sounding remotely worried or scared, and them actually being the first ones who are trying to figure out how to get down the hill before the guy even says anything. It's just, they worked it. They completely flipped this video around, presented it in a different way. The public went going, oh gosh, this is horrible. And it's not at all. It's like just editing a promo to make something sound like spookier. You're more intrigued by it. You can edit anything to make things sound worse than they actually are. And that's exactly what appears to have happened in this video.
100%.
I am baffled.
It's like, why did they elect to only put out that 3 second clip of just him instead of the whole video?
Well, and you're trying, especially in a case that took years to finally go after anybody and get charges, wouldn't you be putting out anything you could in its entirety for anybody to take a look at and go, what can we make sense of? But if they put it out just in that little way, that creates a different narrative. And it makes right. makes this guy look a hell of a lot more ominous than he actually is. And again, right. the guy looks like Ron Logan. If you compare the gait and everything to him, he doesn't appear to be Richard Allen at all, as from what you can tell. And again, you can't completely say it's Ron Logan, but if you, we've shown the graphics before side by side and they're pretty compelling. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me other than, again, another piece in this case that looks like it's been manipulated for another reason. And I don't know what that reason is other than
it's just another mystery. In this case, that's full of them, you know, it's like, and so, and, you know, in related news, Judge Gull has denied the final two motions.
Shocking.
That were filed by the defense, which was the motion to preserve and produce. And then of course the motion to reconsider, the motion to correct errors. So that, and as of today, the notice of appeal has been filed. Mm-hmm. And the clerk has filed the notice of completion of the court's records. So the appeal's up and running. It's now officially out of Judge Gull's hands up and until if they're granted a new trial, then in theory, she would be sitting on the judge unless the appellate court says, well, we're going to kick it back, but this time we're going to use a different judge.
Does the appellate court have the authority to do that? Or let me ask you that question. They do? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If they think that the judge just made some critical errors, I mean, the appellate court could seek to have it tried in front of another judge.
It wouldn't necessarily automatically go back to Gull and she wouldn't have the opportunity to recuse herself. It would just simply be, we're getting a different judge. It's not your choice anymore.
Well, if the opinion is silent as to like her trying it or her overseeing it again, then she's the judge.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be up to her as to whether or not she's going to do it again.
Sure.
You know,
time window and something like this, now that that's been filed, where does that go?
Well, the next step is the brief, Allen's brief has to be prepared. They have to get the full record, meaning all the exhibits put together, which I'm sure they're working furiously on right now. Mm-hmm. And once that is done, and I'm sure that appellate counsel is already working on their brief. They're working on identifying all the issues. They do that by going through the transcripts of all the hearings and the trial. They identify the issues that they think exist. They put together their brief. That will probably take a few months, 3, 4, 5 months. There are deadlines, but they usually can get extensions. Once they get it done, the response brief is due. And then, you know, after that, there may be a reply brief. But then once the court is fully briefed, then they start reading through it. And they'll decide if they want oral arguments or not. And if they do, there'll be a date set for oral arguments. I've heard that in Indiana, like the range is anywhere from 12 to 18 months.
So hopefully he stays alive in jail or in prison for at least 12 to 18 months.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key.
That's
because the appeal goes away if he dies.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
So messed up. So messed up. If you were listening to this and you want to see the video itself, you can check out our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and watch everything that we were talking about. And be sure to hit subscribe there or wherever you're listening right now so you don't miss any of the updates on this case, because it's not going away anytime soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed, only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.